two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Join us on Archetypes, a dynamic podcast hosted by Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, as she digs into the labels that try to hold women back. In each intimate and candid conversation, Meghan is joined by guests like Serena Williams, Mariah Carey, Paris Hilton, Issa Rae, and Trevor Noah as they delve into the roots of countless common descriptors of women, like diva, crazy, dumb blonde, and the B word, and redefine and reclaim each identity along the way. The complete season of Archetypes is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
Remember that one time when we recorded an episode of the podcast, but we had put two and two together on air that we had had sex at the same time, like the night before? Like, and we were like kind of talking about the fact that, wow, what if like we were penetrated at the exact same time?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Diosa, and I'm the co-host of Locatora Radio.
And my name is Mala. I am also the co-host of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Which is just an extra way of saying
a podcast.
And you're listening to Good Sex. Mala and I have known each other since our early 20s. I don't even know what year really, but we started following each other on Twitter and Instagram back when I was an undergrad. So I would say probably like 2013, maybe around that time. And the way that I like to really like capture that moment was that we were on Instagram before the DM existed. And so we were following each other before there was this ability to like really build a friendship online. But we were like engaging with each other in very like small ways, right? We were posting very similar in the sense that we were posting like our nails, like the art that we liked, the looks that we created that day. And so it created this like very common thread between us that when we met in person for the first time, there was already this level of comfort, even though we didn't really know each other.
Yes, that's where the friendship sort of started and took off. And then one day I get a text from Diosa and she asked me if I want to start a podcast. And I'm usually down for whatever. So I immediately was like, yes, let's do it. Like, didn't matter what kind of podcast, didn't matter what the title was, the theme. This sounds fun. Let's do it. And that's kind of how our working relationship and our creative relationship began. So what would you say, if anything, you have learned from our conversations about sex and relationships on the podcast that you have ended up taking into the bedroom?
I think from the podcast, like, you know, we advocate for like agency and autonomy, right? But sometimes that can be really hard to model in your own relationships, even if you believe it. You know, I am someone that is like a recovering people pleaser. And so it's taken me a long time in my intimate relationships to be like, this is what I like and this is what I don't like, and not feel any shame, not feel embarrassed. And also, if a partner like has a negative reaction, like that's okay. That's not my thing to carry with me, but I still have every right to be honest about what I'm into and what I'm not into. And I think like creating the type of intimate relationship, whether with a partner or not, but whomever it is that you're having sex with, like being able to have that honesty can be really hard and can be really scary at times, but it's also so important. And so I think it came down to this, like I can talk about this on the podcast, but am I actually doing this in my real life? Okay, I need to actually channel this in my real life and not be afraid or feel shame or anything. I just need to do it. And I think that's been the biggest takeaway.
Love it. Yeah. And I think that talking about sex and sexuality on air with you, with guests, with listeners, it sort of encouraged me to bring the talking into the bedroom, right? Like include conversation and talking as part of the foreplay and the experience. And talking and communicating is a big part of having a good time, not only for consent, but also for like guiding one another and learning one another. And so we're learning about sex by talking about it. And then while you're having sex, you learn about sex by talking about it. So it's like this really funny feedback loop. And they really do go hand in hand, because then we like go have the sex and then we come on the podcast and talk about it.
That's so funny, because like similar to that, like what I've learned is like, okay, my love languages, one of them is word of affirmation. And guess what? That translates to the bedroom. And I didn't really think about that until I felt that need, that I needed my partner to say, like, you feel so good. That, right. That what you're doing right now is amazing, you know, and like to really say right. it in those moments. And I realized like that actually is a part of the turn on, is because I need that affirmation all the time. You know, that translates not just to romantic friendship relationships. It's also in the bedroom. And I agree, like the talking is really important. And I think that that's a really good jumping off point for my question for you, because growing up, I know in our communities, we didn't necessarily get any sex ed. And with that, it made us seek out conversations or ask questions to people. So growing up, who did you go to for sex advice, if at all?
We're former Catholic schoolgirls, recovering Catholics. That's like, it was like nine years of Catholicism and abstinence only. And we don't talk about it. We don't even have health class. It's religion class. And we're talking about maintaining our purity for our future husband and for Jesus Christ, literally. And that's the class and that's the language. And it's a decade of that. Even between friends, all my friends were other little Catholic schoolgirls. And none of us are talking about this stuff with each other. We're like, ew, gross. Let's not even go there. We're watching Sailor Moon and playing with dolls, you know, and like going to dance class, like niñas buenas, you know what I mean? Very sheltered. But I turn on TV and there's every music video you could possibly imagine from the 90s, you know, like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, the Spice Girls, Destiny's Child, NSYNC, like Boys to Men, the pop culture, MTV, TRL, music videos, like there was so much sex in it and sexuality and talk of and descriptions of like seduction and flirting and relationships. And that's my education. And that's really where I'm learning this stuff, is from music and from television and from pop culture. It wasn't until I got to high school. It was not a religious school. It was like, you know, an unaffiliated school as far as like faith goes. It was an independent school. So we had a proper sex education class. We had a proper health class. But, you know, by then I'm 15, 16 as a sophomore, you know, taking these classes. And I think it's like by the time you're that age, for a lot of us in our communities, it's like too late. Like we needed this info when we were 8, you know, when we were 10. So that's then where I was able to seek out advice and get questions answered and things are medically accurate. But how about you?
I didn't go to anyone because I was a little queer kid. And so I remember that the first time I had sex, I told my friend that I had lost my virginity. And she said, but you didn't lose your virginity because you had sex with a girl. And so then it became apparent to me like, oh, I actually can't talk to any of my friends about this because they're not having sex with girls and like they don't get it. And it became this like just something that I would only talk to my, you know, my high school girlfriend at the time, because we were having sex with each other and we were friends and that was it. And so it was very isolating in that way, because there was no one that could understand what I was feeling or what I was doing at the time.
So I feel like one of the best types of sex is like vacation sex, or just in a place that's not your home, not your partner's home. And I think that the destination can like have a lot to do with the experience. So what is a sex destination that you feel like you absolutely must visit while you still have like a super active libido?
My first thought is like Paris, like the city of love. You have to have sex in Paris. That's like the first thing I thought of. But I also agree that vacation sex, there's just something about it that makes it better. I don't know if you're just, you feel out of your comfort zone. So it allows you to maybe push boundaries a little bit with consent, of course. Because I know I definitely had like incredible sex when I was in New Orleans, like years ago now. But I remember that trip distinctly because I think that was probably one of the first times my partner and I like really experienced like vacation sex. And so it's definitely like something to look forward to in addition to the vacation. When you're traveling with someone you're also sleeping with, it's like, oh, this is going to be good. It's on. I know it.
Absolutely. It just like, yeah, it gives you a vibe. It gives you it's just a whole different context. And then, you know, we live at home, very like LA Latina of us. And so, you know, it could be hard to really have a good time when you are still at home. So like the vacation sex for us is a necessity.
This is so true, because when you are at home or you're like, you know, a shared house, a shared apartment, like there's a certain noise level you have to maintain, right? And so maybe that is also part of like the sexy part of vacation sex is, well, one, you could be in an Airbnb where no one hears you, or two, it doesn't matter who hears you because you're not going to see them again. And it's not your parents listening, you know, so it's fine.
Exactly. It's fine. Yeah. In that spirit, I will say, like, for me, I want to experience like sex at different altitudes. Like I want to try like below water, like submarine. I want to try like top of a mountain, you know, like those hikers that they like pin themselves to the side of the mountain and they're in their little hammock. I'd like to have an experience there in the future when we're living on like a space station, like, you know, extraterrestrial. Just, I feel like the elevation makes a difference.
You want elevation practice is what I'm hearing.
Yes, exactly. So we can keep it going. We have to build our stamina.
You're training for your own marathon is what I'm hearing.
Yes, we got to get the lung capacity up. Very important for the future. Yes.
Do you want to be a guest on Good Sex, either solo or with someone else? Well, fill out the form in the episode notes for a chance to appear on the podcast. And don't worry, it'll be safe and fun, just like the show.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Welcome to The Dough, where Cash is queen and we hardly know her, but we're still here figuring her out together because, y'all, Season 2 is here. Hosted every week by me, X Maya. Remember me? I'm going to be talking to all types of people about their relationship to money. I'm talking to reality stars, entrepreneurs, financial experts, and even some of my own friends. Basically, anyone who will get real with me about their dollars, how they make money, how they spend it, and how they save it, because I'm trying to retire early, people. Season 2 of The Dough is out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I know I've had like issues over the years, whether that be like as a result of birth control or just like stress, life happens. But has there ever been a time that you've struggled sexually, whether that be looking for someone to sleep with, maybe something you're feeling and dealing with, or just performance in general?
I don't think I've ever had a performance issue. As I like to say, my pussy always works. But what I would say is that sometimes, like, I struggle to find someone who has the same, like, I guess, who has the same sex drive as I do. So I almost feel like I have sort of scaled back, and I've sort of like, I'm like, let me chill. You know, like, I feel like in the past I've been very like sex forward and very like intense when it comes to sex and sexuality. But more recently, I feel like it's more enjoyable for me if I like have less of it, almost. Like when you smoke too much weed, you need to keep smoking more so that you can like feel its effect. And if you take a tolerance break and you give yourself like some time without it, you know, then the next time you smoke, like you can really feel it. And so for me, I'm like, let me give myself a tolerance break, you know, from boning and let's see how I feel. It's just like trying to find my rhythm with it again, especially like post-pandemic. It's not post-pandemic, but these past 2 years, like I was single in quarantine. And so, you know, my flow and my rhythm, I'm trying to figure it out again. And like, what's my relationship now with my own like sex drive, I guess.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like post, again, not post-pandemic, but, you know, after the last 2 years, I can imagine that there are a lot of people trying to figure out what does sex like look for them, because like you said, the pandemic's not over and a lot of people spent time alone. And so, you know, even like, I think exploring like masturbation or sex toys for the first time, like I feel like that is probably a layer of the pandemic that we haven't even touched yet. Like, what was it like for people to be quarantining alone or with a partner? Like, did y'all have sex all the time? Did you have sex like never? Like, you know what I mean?
In the spirit of this, right? Like, maybe in quarantine in the past 2 years, where we've experimented with new things. Maybe we've had great experiences. Maybe some things we're never going to do ever again. My question for you is, what is the best or worst sex that you've ever had?
The best sex that I've had.
Your eyes.
And I would say this was not the person, but it was more like the experience. So the probably one of the best moments that I've had is I slept with someone in my early 20s, and it was my first time like sleeping with a man. And it was, he was just very experienced and made me very comfortable. And it was very much just, we're hooking up. And I think like up until that point, I had only slept with my girlfriends. Like, I had only had relationship sex. And then even now, like with my partner, like we've been together for 5 years. And so a lot of the sex that I have had has been with partners, but this person in particular, it was like the first time it was casual and we weren't trying to date each other. And I think for that reason alone made it really good. And it was also the first time that I could show up and just and say, I'm going to sleep with a man because I want to. Not because anyone is telling me that I need to, and anyone is saying you're going to change your mind about being a lesbian or your phase is over. It's that I want to experience this because I want to. And I think for that reason alone is what made it like the one of like the best experiences sexually that I've ever had. And man, as far as like the worst, I think anytime you're with like a 1 minute man.
Oh yes.
That's
a plague upon us all.
Ooh, that is definitely, you know, painful. It's like, oh, we're just, I thought we were just getting started, but okay, we're this is done. Okay. All right.
We're wrapping up.
On my way.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. How is our intimacy different from the intimacy that you share with your partner?
Great question. Easy answer. You and I have a non-judgmental relationship. And what I mean by that is not that my partner is judging me, but I think that there's always a little, at least for me, there's always a slight fear that I may be judged for anything, you know, and it could be small things, right? My partner's amazing, but there's this understanding that you and I have where it's just anything goes. I can say anything. And if I do something, you can also check me, but it's in a non-judgmental way. And I think that that's something that is very different from any of the relationships that I've had, even friendship ones, where this is a partnership where I know, like, it's trusting, it's, like, mutual, and it's non-judgmental, and it's supportive. And I think that when you're growing, either professionally or personally, like, you can meet people that don't want you to grow anymore. Like, they're comfortable with you staying small. And with you, it's like, oh, no, we're going to keep growing and growing and growing, and we're doing it together. And even if we grow in different ways, like, there's still this, like, deep level of support there.
Truly. That is a type of intimacy that really has legs. There's a foundation. It is sturdy. It is strong. You know, it's there. And, you know, so this intimate relationship has outlived every other intimate relationship that I've had.
Yeah, I mean, not to put you on the spot or anything, but do you remember when you had a certain ex-boyfriend that was a little bit jealous of our relationship?
It was a thing. It was a thing. He would literally make statements about, I don't know about Diosa, and maybe she likes you, and you spent a lot of time with her. very jealous of you. And the thing is like, bro, you could be jealous, but she's staying. I will always choose her. Like, you could be jealous, but you're going to be jealous by yourself, far away from me.
Same. I mean, I agree with you. I haven't experienced that with my relationship, but, you know, if that were to ever be the case, it's like, Mala was here before you, because even though my relationship is long term, our relationship is still longer. Like, you and I got 6 years of being in a relationship, you know, and so
yeah,
that this is the one. This is definitely the one.
Yeah, no one can take that from us. So all partners, current, past, future, you're on notice. You heard it here. You're on notice. You can tune in to Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us at Locatora_radio on all platforms. Visit our website, locatoraradio.com, for more.
Thank you for listening to Good Sex.
Good Sex is a Lemonada Media original. The show is produced by Keegan Zema, Dani Matias, and Aria Bracci. Our supervising producer is Jorge Olivares. Our engineer is Brian Castillo. Executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova-Kramer. Music is by Dan Molad and APM Music. If you like Good Sex, please rate and review us. Listen and follow for new episodes each week wherever you're listening right now. And if you want more Good Sex, subscribe to Lemonada Premium only on Apple Podcasts.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere, and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.